Well, hey, we're in a teaching series called Old Testament Characters. And for those that have been around, I think we're in week like 5 of this. And we've been examining the lives of certain people in the Old Testament. And the whole reason we're going through all these stories is not just because they're fun stories, but because we watch how they interacted with the story of God and said, hey, we get to learn from how they dealt with God and how God dealt with them. We can learn things from them. And so today, we're going to look at one of the two that you voted on. When we said, remember I asked you, what topics did you want to do? Who did you want to hear from? One of the ones you voted on was a guy named Samuel. And this whole idea of hearing the voice of God. And so we're going to look at that this morning. There's a story told of Franklin Roosevelt. And he often endured these long White House receptions. And what happened is they would have these long receiving lines, you know, where you'd have all these people come in, then all the dignitaries would come on, they'd shake your hand, and they'd go down the line. And he got so tired of it, and he complained to one of his aides that no one ever paid attention to anything he said in the middle of the receiving line. And so one time he said, I'm going to try an experiment. So every person, right, so he's standing in the line, and you know how they do that, it's like a wedding reception, you know where they're going down there. So every person that came up and shook his hand, he leaned and he whispered and he said, I murdered my grandmother today. And every single person said, oh, that's so nice. Things are going so well. Really appreciate it. On and on and on. Nobody's paying attention until he got right to the end of the line. And the ambassador from Bolivia actually heard his words and paused and said, I'm sure she had it coming. Just continue right along. Right? Which I thought, it's pretty good. But I don't know, have you ever been on either side of a conversation like that? You know, where you're saying things and you're like, nobody's listening. Nobody's hearing what I'm saying. The words are coming out of my mouth. There's nothing going on. Or have you been on the other side where someone else is talking? And after 5 minutes, you think, they're still talking. I don't have a clue what they've been talking about, right? You've been on both sides of this. And most of us, some of it's kind of funny. Sometimes it's like, maybe not so good. But I wonder, because sometimes it creates conflict, sometimes it doesn't in a marriage, sometimes it's nothing, sometimes it's like, you never listen to me. But do you ever wonder if the same thing happens when you are dealing with God? Like, did you ever get in that place where you're wondering, maybe God's speaking and I'm just missing it? Like, I'm not hearing it? Or maybe I'm speaking and God's not listening to me? Like, there's got to be a disconnect going on here. Have you ever had a conversation with somebody? You know, you ran into someone, and they acted, or when you talked to them, they talked like they heard from God all the time. You ever met someone like that? And what they do is they say, oh yeah, I heard God, and God said this, and God said this, and God said this. And you're thinking to yourself, how does that happen? I don't hear God like that very often. And yet they seem to do it clearly every day. Have you wondered if it's even possible? You know, if they're making it up, I mean, you've surely heard of people who say, oh, I hear from God all the time. But even those people generally say, oh, man, I wish I could hear God more. So that's what we're going to be looking at this morning. Because Samuel was one of the first prophets in Israel. So he lived way back here. You can see in the timeline, you know, over 1,000 years before Jesus. And he lived right before Israel became a nation, a country, in the sense of having kings and stuff. So if you read the story of Samuel, and it starts in 1 Samuel in your Bibles, which is the Old Testament, right? That's what we're looking at. And so he came in, this was before they had kings, and we had just gone through this whole period, you can see the period of the judges, where the land was kind of in chaos. They really didn't have a leader, and their leader was the prophet or the priest, the spiritual leader of the nation. That's who led them, and that's when Samuel lived. And he actually led the spiritual lives of the nation of Israel, and he was the one who shepherded them through their transition from a nation with no king to a nation that had a king. He was the guy, helped them through all that. But did you know Samuel was a miracle baby? Okay. Now, if you're not familiar with the story, you can read it in the first couple chapters. He's what you call a miracle baby. His mother's name was Hannah. It's a fascinating story, but essentially, she couldn't get pregnant. And we've talked about this before, how that was such a big deal in that culture, when you couldn't have a child. And so she is broken up about it. She's actually in a family, and her husband, they actually have two wives, which was not unknown at the time. And the other lady had lots of kids, and she couldn't have any. She's really broken up about it. And one year when they go up to Shiloh, which is where the Ark of the Covenant was, kind of God's presence, and he went up there to offer a sacrifice once a year, She is so broken up about her infertility, her inability to have a child. She goes in and she's pouring her heart out to God, you know, in whatever sanctuary tent, whatever kind of thing they have there. And she's just so passionate, and she's kind of talking to God. And it's kind of a funny story and sad in some ways, because the priest, Eli, who's there, sees her, thinks she's drunk. Because, you know, her lips are moving and she's really passionate. She's probably very engaged. He thinks she's drunk. She goes up and says, "Lady, you need to stop drinking." She goes, No, I'm not drunk. I'm just praying because this is what's going on. I can't have a baby. I so desperately want one." And he says, "Well, then the Lord bless you." She goes home. She has a baby. But what was interesting was when she had this baby, she said to God, she said, I can't have children. If you'll just give me a child, I will dedicate this child to you for the rest of their life." So God gave her a baby. She named him Samuel. And that's exactly what she did. So she raised the boy just a little bit. He was probably a young lad, probably 5 or 6 years old, when she took him back to the temple where the priest was and said, "This is the son. You know, do you remember me? I was that lady who was praying for a child. God gave me one, and I promised that I would give him into God's service. So here he is. I need him to serve here." She went home. Amazing story that she would actually leave her child that she had her firstborn to say, "This is what I promised. Stay with the Lord." The good news is she ended up having like 5 other kids later that God blessed her. It's pretty cool. But what you have to understand going into this story then is Samuel is away from his family. He's away from his mother. He sees her once a year when she comes down for the sacrifice, you know, kind of brings him a new robe, new set of clothes. And he's serving there under the guidance of the priest, a guy named Eli. So when we pick up our story, we're in chapter 3, if you're following along in your Bible, which, by the way, if you have the Hope Chapel app, there's a little Bible in there, you just click and you got it. We're going to be picking up in chapter 3, and you got to figure that Samuel's maybe 10 to 12 years old at this point in his life, okay? So you got to kind of hold that in your mind as we go through this. So let's take a look. Here's how the story begins. The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli being the high priest at the time. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. Love the setup to this story, right? The whole thing, he's setting up with things. Hey guys, Samuel's there, and you have to understand, God ain't talking very much. People are not hearing from him. It used to happen all the time. It used to be visions. God used to talk to his people. That wasn't going on anymore. In all likelihood, because they weren't really listening and they weren't obeying, but the word of the Lord was rare. One night, Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the house of the Lord where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel, and Samuel answered, "Here I am." And he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." But Eli said, "I'm not called. Go back, lie down. Why are you waking me up? I'm old. I can't see very well. I didn't say anything. You're having a dream. Go back to bed." So he went and he lay down. The Lord called Samuel. Samuel got up. He went to Eli and said, "Here I am. You called me." "My son," Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lie down." And the author gives us a little parenthesis statement here. Now, Samuel did not yet know the Lord, and the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. A third time, the Lord called Samuel, and Samuel got up, and he went to Eli, and he said, "Here I am, you called me." Now, if you've ever been one of those where you just sort of fell asleep, and then you woke up, and then you sort of fell asleep, and then you woke up, how annoying that is, right? So after the third time, Eli realized, duh, the Lord is calling the boy. So Eli said to Samuel, "Go and lie down, and if he calls you, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And the Lord came and he stood there calling as at the other times, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel said, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." See, he heard God's voice. He listened, and it changed the course of his life and the life of an entire nation of people, which we'll come to in a little bit. So what do we learn from this? It's a great story. It's kind of interesting. Most of us have never heard God speak to us in the middle of the night, you know, in an audible voice. You know, that doesn't happen to most people. So we're like, well, so what can I learn from this? And here's the thing. Here's the main idea that I kind of want you to sit with this morning is God is speaking to you. every single one of you, to me. He's not talking to the pastor. He's not talking, he's talking to the pastor. He's talking to the elders, but he's not just talking to us. He's talking to every single person. He's speaking, and we can have that kind of conversation. So I want to unpack three things. Three things that I think Samuel did that really give us three principles that if we implement these in our lives, we will be able to engage with this God who is speaking with us. So let me go through. Three things that I see. Here's the first. He was in a position to hear God's voice. Very interesting what's going on here. We read right off the start here that Samuel was ministering before the Lord. And really what you're going on here, so when you see, by the way, whenever an author in the Bible gives details in a story, pay attention. They're not just there as filler, right? They had no interest in just writing a story to write a story. You know, they're not trying to sell books on Amazon, right? So they're not trying to do this. There's a reason for the detail. And we get amazing amount of detail in this initial part of the story. We kind of see three things. He said he's serving in the house of God. Well, it wasn't the temple the way we know it from later when Solomon built it, but there was some sort of worship and sanctuary, and he is serving there. So he is engaged and engrossed and immersed in the things of God. That's what he is. He's doing this day after day. He's learning all about the sacrifices. He's learning the law. He's learning the ceremonies. Eli's his mentor, right? The one who's coaching him. He's like his surrogate father because that's where he spends all his time. And he's learning all these things. So what's going on is he was always around the things of God. But then you see something else. It's not just that he's in the temple. It says he's in the place where the ark of God was. Do you see that at the end? No. The ark of God was the symbol of God's presence with his people and of his speaking. So when the ark, when God told Moses way back when to build the ark and to put it in place, he said, this is where I'm going to speak to Israel from. So this was a symbol of God's presence and of God's voice was the ark. Now, what's interesting to me is what you read about Eli. What does it say? Eli lay down in his usual place, but Samuel was where the ark was. And it makes me wonder, why was the high priest not where the ark of God was? And I wonder if that's why God was speaking to Samuel and not to Eli. Okay? Well, what's the principle? What's going on here? He's in the place where he can hear God. And then the third thing I notice is, did you notice the time? When did he speak to him? Late. In the night. After he laid down to go to sleep, everything was quiet. There were no distractions. There was no noise. It was quiet. So when you look at this, you say, okay, he had space to hear. So Samuel's in this place where mentally, physically, emotionally, everything there is, he hears God's voice. So don't take this. We can't miss this. What this is not telling you is that you have to be in church to hear God's voice. You're just like, well, he was in the temple. That means I have to come to church to hear God's voice. No. That's not the principles, right? What's going on here is these three things is to say, if we want to hear God's voice, these are the things that we need to have active in our lives. So think about being around the things of God. What does it look like for us? If you're not a pastor or you're not working in an actual physical building, it's not going to look like Samuel, but it's going to look a whole lot of different ways. There's ways to do this. It's just this idea of saying, I am going to make a habit and a practice of God being present in all the things I do. Right? I'm practicing this idea. And if the only time we focus on God is Sunday morning, you will not hear God's voice. Not very often. You just won't. Because what Samuel's doing is saying every day, this is part of his life. It's part of what he did. So how do you do that? I mean, you take time with him. You read your Bible. You listen to a podcast. You listen to a sermon. You use worship music. But somehow, some way, in whatever way that works for you, engage your life so that God is never far from your mind, right? That's one thing. How about this? He's in a place to hear. We might not be where the Ark of the Covenant is, but we need to have regular time where we are with him. I hear lots of people who follow Jesus who say, I don't really have time for that. That's not really the kind of person I am. I just talk to God during the day whenever he comes to my mind. I got news for you. If that's your life, you will not hear God's voice as often as you could. Because Samuel's saying, look, I'm investing, and this is where I am. This is where I'm going to sleep. There's something about the time and the investment of the energy in being where God is to hear his voice. And then the one we like the least is giving space to hear, because we live in a world of distractions. And you notice he didn't speak to Samuel when he's going about his duties during the day, right? So think about this. We say, oh, I just want to hear God as I go about my day, as I'm going through my life, as I'm shopping, as I'm doing all the things. And God's like, whoa, you're too busy then. Your mind is occupied. If you really want to have a conversation to me, you have to slow down so you can hear me. That idea of turning off, go for a hike, sit and be quiet. This is, if you're a person who likes noise, this is really difficult. Because you'll do this and you'll think, oh my goodness, I've been quiet for an hour. And you're like, oh, it's been 4 minutes. Right? This is what happens. Yvonne and I took a trip recently, just for like 2 days. And it was interesting, the comment she made on the way back, she said, every couple should have to take road trips regularly in the car. Because you have windshield time where there's no book on, there's no radio on, there's no music on, and you just have a chance to talk. That's what's going on here. You just need this time. So, by the way, good listening, hearing God, it's like listening to a radio station. Do you know you can't listen to 4 radio stations at once? You ever tried that? It doesn't work. It'll be one. You can only be tuned into one at a time. You can't be tuned into 3 at a time, then you'll hear nothing. Same principle applies here. So, God is speaking. That means we have to put ourselves in a position to hear God's voice. But here's the second thing I see Samuel do that I think is really important, is he had to learn to recognize it. Because you can say to me, well, I get all that, but I don't know if God's talking to me. I don't know if that's just my mind. I don't know if that's the pizza I ate last night. You know, I don't know what it is that's creating these thoughts in my head. How do I recognize God's voice? So, we go through this whole story. And he's hearing God's voice, he's not recognizing it, right? Running back and forth to Eli, you know, being a good little 10 or 12-year-old, saying, all right, you know, I'm here. And Eli's like, I didn't talk to you. And finally, he gets his counsel. Because, see, Samuel wasn't expecting to hear God's voice. That's why the author at the beginning said the word of the Lord was rare. So Samuel was not expecting God's voice. So, yeah, why would I expect to hear God's voice? I've never heard it before. I'm not even looking for it. But it didn't mean that he didn't want to hear God's voice. Wasn't used to it, didn't know. And once Eli figures out what's going on, he gives Samuel a very specific phrase to use. Right? You see it up here. He says, when you hear God again, say, speak, for your servant is listening. It's a huge thing, because what this is a statement that you would use with someone who's your master. Someone who's your boss. Because essentially, when you say this, speak, Lord, your servant is listening, this isn't just a cognitive, okay, I'm hearing you. What he's really saying is, my will is neutral here, God. I am willing to bend and to listen and to hear what it is to have you say with the intention of following. Your will be done. So when Samuel says to God, go ahead and speak, what he's really saying is, I'm ready to listen. I'm ready to hear. Lay it on me. So how do you recognize that? How do you know that? He's probably not going to speak aloud very often. But I find this really encouraging, because you realize that hearing God's voice has nothing to do with age or spiritual experience. You don't have to be a Christ follower for 10 years or 20 years to hear God's voice. You don't even have to be old. This is Samuel. He's a kid. He's 10 to 12 years old. What do your 10 to 12-year-olds that you know do? Right? And yet he's hearing the voice of God. He's had no experience hearing the voice of God, but God says, no, I want to speak with you. So I think of it this way. If we want to hear him, we first of all have to expect that God's going to speak. And I mean really expect it. A lot of us say, oh yeah, God can speak if God wants. That's not what we're talking about here. Expectation is, as I go through my day, I am listening for and looking for and waiting for God to speak, because he's going to do it and I don't want to miss it. There's something about that expectation that completely changes our focus in hearing God's voice. We want to expect it. And then secondly, we have to value what he says. Because here's the thing. If we don't value it, we're not going to listen. See, there's studies have shown, by the way, that they did this study with newborns. Do you know that a newborn baby can pick its mother's voice out of a crowded room right after they're born? Everybody knows why that is, right? It's just spent 9 months listening to its mother over and over and over. And that voice and the cadence and the tones and everything in the mother has become so ingrained in the child that when the child is born, boom, they can pick mother out right away. They know mother because they've been listening over and over and over again. We don't expect that he's going to speak. And then when he says something, it's going to matter. And here's why. Because God will rarely speak on your timetable. Okay, God, it's 10 o'clock at night. 10:30, I got a show on. I got a half an hour here. Right? I'm kind of tired, but I'm going to keep awake just for you. Speak to me. It doesn't usually work that way. Right? Samuel is going through this, and all of a sudden God speaks out of the blue. God does this over and over and over because what he's looking for are people that are expecting that he'll speak, that are valuing what he has to say. And if you're worried about this and you say, well, I don't know, I heard this thought and I wasn't sure if it was God, stop overthinking it. I'm going to give you permission to stop overthinking and just assume that it's God. Make sense? If it's God, first of all, you know it's God because if you're hearing a whisper to do something that you know is completely wrong, that ain't God. You all know that. Oh, God's telling me I should go do this. No, that's wrong. I know I shouldn't do that. But if it's something good, you know, something that lines up with what you know about being a Christ follower, it lines up with scripture, and you're like, oh, I don't know. Is that God? Is that just me? Stop overthinking. Just do it. Just do it. It doesn't matter. You get this thought in your mind, I should text that person. I don't know. Does God really want me to text? Just do it. I'm standing in line. I wonder if I should buy their, the snack ahead of me. And well, I don't know. Is that God? Is that not? You can talk yourself right out of it, and then they're gone. Don't. Just do it. Two reasons for that. Number one is it's only through practice that you hear someone's voice. The reason the baby knows its mother's voice is it's been listening and listening and listening and listening and listening. And the people you know that hear God's voice clearly all the time is because they've done it hundreds upon thousands of times. So just do it. And number two is if it wasn't God's voice and it was just you and you did something nice for them, you did something nice for them. And that's not unrewarded in God's economy. All right. I think of this sometimes, too, in terms of valuing what God has to say. You know, I'm not a car guy. Anybody, we get car guys? I am not a car guy, right? Well, I remember getting in a conversation with a bunch of guys, and they started talking about cars. And then they started talking about what cars were like and what the engines were like. And I thought, I'm going to kill myself. Because the only reason I think of cars is because I have to get in it to go from here to here. That is the extent of my interest in cars. And I get angry when they stop working. I just don't care, right? So what ends up happening is, in that conversation, I don't value what they have to say. And when that happens, it is so easy to tune them out and say, I don't remember anything they said because I don't care. And yet so many of us do the exact same thing with God. Even when we're expecting, we're like, oh, I don't know. He said that, or I don't really, he's going to ask me to do that weird thing. I don't want to have anything to do with that. That's, no thanks. And we tune him out, and then we miss it when he talks. All right. So, two things, right? We want to put ourselves in a place to hear what he has to say, right? We want to actually do it. Then we want to actually listen, expect that we're going to hear it and value it. But then here's the third. If we want to hear God's voice on a regular basis, is this one. When God speaks, we have to do what he says. Because Samuel was faced with this marvelous choice. So God finally has Samuel's attention. And I'm going to go on. We stopped the story here. We didn't go any further. He's hearing God for the first time. Think how amazing this is, right? 12-year-old boy, he's in the middle of the night. God's voice, he's finally got it. He says, speak, Lord. Your servant is listening. And you're thinking, oh my goodness, this is setting up Samuel's entire life. God is going to speak to Samuel. What is he going to say? Samuel, you're amazing. Samuel, I have chosen you. Samuel, I love you. Samuel, there's these amazing things I'm going to have for you. Hold your ground. Keep on going. Samuel, this is fantastic. Do you know he doesn't do any of that? What do you think he tells Samuel to do? Was he telling him how amazing he was? God, look at me, I'm God. Here's what he says. The Lord said to Samuel, see, I'm going to do something in Israel that will make the ears of everyone who hears about it tingle. At that time, I will carry out against Eli everything I spoke against his family, because there had been a whole prophecy against him from beginning to end. For I told him I would judge his family forever because of the sin he knew about. His sons blasphemed God, and he failed to restrain them. Therefore, I swore to the house of Eli, the guilt of Eli's house will never be atoned for by sacrifice or offering. And that was the end of what God said. Now, I'm going to judge your mentor, your surrogate father, and all his family. They're all going to die, and it's going to be horrible enough that the entire nation is going to hear about it and gossip about this event. In the morning, Eli said, "What did God say?" Now, I don't even know if we can gather or understand the gravity of this, right? You're a 12-year-old boy. You've been living in the temple. Eli's like your father. He's mentored you in the ways of God. He's the one who's taught you everything. And then you're standing in front of him, and God has given you a message to tell him that you're going to be judged. You're going to die. Your sons are going to die. And Samuel is faced with a choice. Do I pass it on? Do I hold it to myself? Do I do what God told me to do and say what God had put in my mind or not? Now, I thought about this week because I thought, why would God begin Samuel's entire ministry with that kind of message? I mean, it seems crazy, doesn't it? He's not talking to an adult. He's talking to a child. Why would God speak to Samuel and then start there? And I think it's because he knew what was coming for Samuel. And he says, you are going to be entrusted with the words of God, and they're not always going to be easy. And if you're going to be listening to me, and I'm going to be speaking to you, and we're going to have this dialogue, I have to know that what I tell you, you will do. So Samuel, do it. So he told Eli everything. He didn't hide anything. He didn't really want to. See, listen, my friends. Nothing stops the voice of God in your life faster than disobedience. Because what happens is God speaks and we say, "Oh, I don't know, maybe that wasn't God, maybe that was just me, let me go pray about it, let me think about it." A week goes by, we forget about it, and nothing we ever prompted to do happens. Or he talks to us and he speaks something. We have this really strong feeling, you know, I need to go do this. I need to forgive this person. I need to confess this thing. I need to make this right. And we're like, no way. God, you don't know what they did. I am not doing that. And God's up there going, you want to hear from me? But when you hear from me, you say no. Why would I keep having this conversation? It's not that he goes away. He's not like, well, I'm done with you. He's not going to walk away from us. But he says, hey, we got something we got to deal with. We're going to keep circling back to this until you listen. I thought about this in terms of how we do this too, because in my mind, there's two different things that are at play here. When God speaks, he does it two ways. One of them is he does it with general communication. Let me explain what I mean. There's a lot of things that we feel God speaking to us that are common to all Christ followers. So these are things that we kind of get prompted about that we already know because they're already in scripture and they apply to everybody, okay? So this would be like, I'm in a situation, and I feel like God's saying to me, hey, you've got something against that person you need to forgive, okay? That is not unique to you. It's in scripture. God already said we are supposed to forgive. If we are Christ followers, you get no wiggle room here. There are no exceptions. He says you need to forgive. So that's kind of like a general communication. It's something that applies, that's a general principle in scripture that applies to us specifically because it doesn't look the same, right? How I forgive this person might be different than how they forgive, and it might be different than how they forgive. Or you get this prompting where God says, I want you to change how you do your finances to be generous. Well, that's going to look different for each person, but the principle is the same. So we are filled with these, and these, honestly, is most of God's communication. And when you're dealing with people and you hear this little voice saying, patience. Well, we're supposed to be patient people. It might look different for each person, but the general idea is the same. And the Bible is filled with these things. Most of the stuff we need to do is already there because we're already not doing it. And God's like, no, no, come on, let's practice this. And so a lot of the communication we receive is just this way. I call it general communication. Then there's what I would call specific communication. These are unique, specific things to you in your situation. Sometimes those come up from God. And don't dismiss this, by the way, because most of us want this one, the specific. Okay, God, tell me exactly what to do, when most of the time he does the first one. Okay? Let me give you an example. Maybe flesh it out for you. I was going through a particular difficult time in my life a few years ago. It was filled with doubt. I didn't like myself. I was depressed a lot. It was in the midst of all that that God began to show me who he was and who I was in relationship to him. He was kind of pointing out, here's how I see you. Here's what you look like. Here's the value you have for me. And in some very deep and personal ways, the Holy Spirit began to take truths that I already knew, communications he's already given, things he'd already written, but he made them real to me. And it changed my life. That's the power of general communication, because he's speaking into us all the times. But then, and by the way, the specific usually comes when we're listening to the general. If we don't listen to the general, he rarely speaks in the specifics. Because, and this happens to me, I can't tell you how often this happens to me, I'll be sitting and I'll be taking time with God, and I'll be, you know, just going through my regular routine of reading and praying, and a thought will pop into my mind, you need to text so-and-so, let them know you're praying for them. Or you just need to do this. And I think, this is not me. This is God saying, you need to do this. Specific to the situation, specific to me, specific to time. And I say, okay, God, I'll do that. Now, that's an easy one, by the way. But sometimes it ain't so easy. And sometimes it doesn't always work. Of course, I'm practicing this. I'm in Wawa. God says, pay for the officer's lunch in front of you. I thought, okay. I don't know if that's God or not. I'm in. He wouldn't let me. I tried. And I thought, I better stop pushing. He's going to shoot me. So at some point, I'm like, okay, you're all good, right? And I said to God, so what was that all about? Was that you or was that me? Because he didn't even let me anyway. What's going on? And I'm convinced a lot of time God's like, yeah, I know. I just wanted to see if you'd listen. Are you listening? Would you do what I actually asked you to do? Next time you have one of those specific things, just do it. God is speaking to you. And every time he speaks, you have only two options. Am I going to listen and obey? Or am I going to ignore him and disobey? There's no other option. There's no, oh, I'm just waiting till later. No, that's just disobedience. And if you ignore his instructions, he'll often go quiet. So do it. Do it again. Do it over. Listen. Make space. Give yourself some room. I was so encouraged by this week. You guys don't know, a lot of times I get way more out of these sermons than you do because I spend all week thinking about them. And God always does this great work, but it reminded me that God is a speaking God and that hearing his voice in amazing ways is not beyond any of us. It's not something that happens out there to those people. Every single one of us can have that experience. It's open to everyone. That's amazing to me. And if I put myself in a position where I can hear his voice, if I practice listening so that I can recognize when he speaks, then when I obey it, my life will utterly change. Because here's what goes on. You know, God is speaking to you, and there's a connection between the effectiveness and power of our life and listening to the voice of God. Here's how this chapter ends. Because they give you this little sample in the middle of Samuel's life, and then they basically skip all the way till he's an adult. And we get this little postscript at the end of this chapter. It says, the Lord was with Samuel as he grew up, and he let none of Samuel's words fall to the ground. The significance, the way that statement is saying, he and Samuel were so tight that when Samuel spoke on God's behalf, God made it stick. And the people that heard it listened. Look at this. All Israel, from Dan to Beersheba, which is from north to the south, recognized that Samuel was attested as a prophet of the Lord. And the Lord continued to appear at Shiloh. This is where he heard the voice of God the first time. And there he revealed himself to Samuel through his word. When Samuel listened to God, he began to fulfill the purpose for which God had called him in the first place. And I wonder how much of his life hinged on whether he ever listened to God that very first time. I don't know. We don't know. But he did. So, here's my encouragement to you. Don't get discouraged. Keep trying it. If you say, I don't know well, and I don't know if it's happening, I don't know if God's speaking, it's okay. It's a learned skill. Remember, when Samuel heard the voice of God, he had to go to his boss, his mentor, his surrogate father, say, what's going on? And he got advice. He got someone to coach him. He got someone to walk through it with him. That's why we need people around us, because doing this on our own almost never works well. He speaks to us individually, but we process among people. So practice. Let people point you in a new direction because God is speaking to you. When we hear God's voice, it's the voice of one who is deeply invested in you. In fact, do this. Close your eyes and bow your heads. I want you to think of this as I go through this. When you hear God's voice, it's the voice of one who knows exactly what I'm like. When I hear God's voice, it's the voice of someone who knows exactly what I need. When I hear God's voice, it's the voice of the one who created me, who loves me, who has a purpose for me in my life. When I hear God's voice, it's the voice of someone who is proud of me and who wants to be known by me. When I hear God's voice, I hear the voice of someone who is always in this for my good. So I just want to be quiet and settle for a minute or two, and I want you to ask, God, what do you want to say to me? And then just listen.